Speaking of trying to glean things from
Yeah,
bait
let's
shit.
move on.
Jesus Christ, Rich, what the fuck did
Have
you
we hit
do to
record?
us this week, bro?
We had a good run, boys.
Oh my
We had a
God,
good run.
yes.
Should we go to the lighthouse, boys?
I was like, can I call in sick? Or how does this work? I don't
Where's my notes? Has anyone done the reading?
I mean, I've dropped the ball. I've only done 50, I'm only 50 pages in. So
I'm only like 25 pages in.
Oh, really?
So I
Okay.
dropped the ball even harder. Yeah.
I skimmed around a bit. I don't know how many pages I've
Tam's read
read.
the ending.
I do know how.
Tam's read the wiki pages.
I read a lot about the book. I read some of the book. I hated reading the book.
Yo, stream of consciousness is rough, man. Holy smokes.
I've enjoyed learning a lot about modernism and Wolf. Yeah, I mean, to be upfront, I don't think modernism's for me. So I changed my vetoes back to Ulysses. I've
That's
extended
what
it
I
for
kept thinking
3 years.
too. Like, how the fuck
I'm
did you?
okay. All right. I'm interested. I had the same reaction as you guys. I still somewhat do,
I'm keen to talk about
but I've started to
it.
come around to it more.
Oh my God.
Like the first 20, 25
No.
pages, I was totally overwhelmed and didn't know what the fuck was happening. And then I've just started to, in the second 20 pages that I've read, I've started to like actually kind of love it. I'm getting
Interesting.
into it and I'm admiring it and I'm kind of vibing with it. I think I've done a full 180.
All right, pitch it. What's the
Where do we start? So I think the stylistically, I was absolutely thrown immediately by all the constant run-on sentences. And then it also moves around in time, which it took me a moment to realize.
Yeah.
Like
Yeah.
when I think,
Are you reading about it, or are you just realizing this all by yourself?
no, I went back and reread the first few pages to
So you
try
read
and,
no commentary around it. That's impressive.
well, I've only read fucking 50 pages of the book,
Nah,
so
but just to like keep
I
it
don't
at it,
want to
figure
ruin
out
it.
some of these things.
Yeah, I mean, I have a little bit of background knowledge about like Wolf's place in the
Oh,
canon
okay.
and
Yeah,
so
I
on.
didn't. So I spent this week kind of learning about that.
Yeah. Yeah, so this is basically one of the big innovations, right? Stream of consciousness storytelling is the hallmark of modernism and multi-perspective storytelling, and a focus on subjective experience. And in a way, this is like the modernist book, because I think it's actually about subjective experience, like as in not only as a literary device, but I think that might be, I'm sensing some themes around subjectivity and objectivity as the
Yeah,
actual
so
meat of
well,
the book as well.
some more context around her place in the canon is she had this feud with this guy called Arnold Bennett, who was like a famous author and critic before the modernists, like in the early 20th century. He kind of criticized the modernists, saying like it just didn't feel realistic. And then she had kind of two big arguments that writers should kind of write what interests them, and it is kind of real to them. But the second one was kind of like, yeah, like what even is real? And this kind of relativistic argument. And then I saw some other critics saying like the subjective experience is like more real than the chair we're sitting on as well. Like I suppose kind of like a Descartesian sort of thing. But yeah, I think that is part of the fabric of the modernist approach.
Do you guys want to say up top what your initial responses are?
Yeah, like I can't really read it. I really, really struggled. And like, I think I'll talk about it in a bit. Like, I think I could eventually get there. I'm worried about this week. Like, I'm not going to be able to finish it. Like, I really, really struggled. Yeah, I think it's kind of not for me. I felt like, almost felt like, have you watched the extras with Ricky Gervais, like his friend in that, the character Maggie Smith? She like dates this black guy and then she gets like worked up because she like doesn't like jazz. She's like didn't like and he like tells her it's fine like to not like jazz, and then she like goes up to him, she's like, I hate jazz, and he's like, I don't really like jazz either, and he's like, well, I hate reggae. But anyway, like she's getting worked up. And I kind of can see it, first female author, and she's like proto-feminist as well. And it's kind of like, it's like, and like trying to, I was just like, I couldn't do it. So
Yeah.
I feel guilty about it. But I think it's more the modernism rather than the female author. But I think there's an interesting aspect of talking about that being relevant as well, the fact she's female, and maybe even in this approach in general, but certainly in this book, like she wrote the quite a famous feminist essay, Room of One Zone. So.
Yeah, there's 100% there, and so it's just on hard mode for us. Well, there's something there for us. We just got to really work at it. But this is not like a phony book. That's what I'm very confident about saying, based on.
Well, yeah, I agree, and I have some direct evidence why even personally that I might make the breakthrough that you may break, but the breakthrough. But I also think this preference thing, it feels okay. It feels really it's kind of like, you know, rap versus rock versus classical or something. Like it's you can have better or worse versions of those, but at some point, it's either for you or not. But I remember I forgot who he had on, but Cowan had someone on. And asked him, why are some people not into artsy movies? And the guy had a shit answer for that. He didn't really know. But we kind of misunderstood the question. But I feel like it's related to this. Like, this book actually, in passages, reminded me of watching like a surreal black and white abstract movie. It's poetic, it's metaphorical. And just like some people aren't that into that. And like, they can be really smart. And some people are really smart, and part of me feels like it's a preference thing.
I think it's a skill issue, baby.
Maybe, but like, I think to never see any value in it, maybe, but I think just to enjoy it or not, I mean, there's got to be an aspect of it just being a preference thing. I mean, I think, anyway, I'll let Benny say his reactions and then we'll.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, what are my reactions? I think maybe I'm based on what Rich has said, maybe I'm just too close to the beginning still to have that many reactions. I am open to the possibility that I'm just missing something or lack the skill of precisely how to read it. That said, it's unclear to me what one obtains in a book like this over just reading about it. Like, so there are some books where I feel like if I'm to like, so
And
you know,
reading
I
the old
think
passage, maybe.
there's an interesting discussion to be had about her place at the vanguard of the modernist movement, et cetera. And I feel like you can understand a lot of that debate without actually reading a book like this. So I guess it's unclear to me what one gets out of reading it beyond understanding the stream of consciousness style, which, you know, you get after
Well, it's probably like
pages of this thing.
letting it seep into you and actually fully appreciating it. It's kind of like knowing. Like experiencing a painting or an indie movie or this sort of thing,
Yeah,
or
which like
you, and you
how long do you need for that?
cut him. Yeah,
Which like
well, I
how long do you
mean,
need for that, right? So same with a painting. There's a legitimate question of like if you don't appreciate a painting after 20 minutes of staring at it, right? Like
oh, yeah,
if you've
sorry,
walked
but
up to a Rothko and looked at it.
if you're not enjoying it, you should probably
But I don't
stop.
know, because I needed longer than that first 20 pages, and I needed two runs at it to give it the attention that it deserved.
Well, here's my personal example. I think she directly influences Wallace.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up.
She's a direct influence on Wallace, and because I'm rereading it, of the Joelle Van Dyne section, her first section about her walk and suicide attempt, and the Tony Krause section around his seizure. And interestingly, the first time we read it, I hated those sections. They're my worst. I borderline couldn't get through them, and because it's a mixture of like infinite jest was so hard, I didn't know what's going on, and I get this fucking this stuff. I don't even know what's going on times 10, and I sort of and what was kind of annoying for that is there's some important like kind of plot and character details, especially in that Joelle section around like James and Kendenzer and stuff. So I kind of missed that. And just relied on you guys. The second time rereading, I still found it kind of hard, but I enjoyed it. Enjoy them both. And the Joelle section is around like this, it's like flickering between what's going on and her memories of the walk, and it's not clear what's what, and there's this passage of time and Toni Kraus is like, I think she's a direct influence on some parts of Infinite Jest, and I ended up liken them out of hard work. But I think I had to be quite invested. I'm invested in these characters, I'm invested in Infinite Jest, and it felt worth it to me. And then the style kind of captured something that it's hard to capture otherwise. This kind of stream of consciousness, blurring of time, multiple perspective style, modern style. So I do think there's a there. I think, I mean, what's interesting about To the Lighthouse, I don't think there's much plot to it. I mean, I think there is kind of a quite a loose plot, but it's very secondary. And
It's about the internal worlds of these characters, really, isn't it? I don't think it's too much about the
yeah, but
external
even that, it's just
reference.
kind of like it's I kind of feel like it's about subjective experience. Just was anyway, I'm not even sure if it's about it. It's just like, yeah, I suppose it is. But yeah, it doesn't have these things to catch on to of like I'm interested in the plot or the characters. And I'm just finding it pretty hard. It's probably also because it's 100 years old, and there's a little bit of reading history backwards as well. You kind of like imagine reading this for the first time. It's like, you know, part of your Bloomsbury circle of great minds, and they're like, oh wow, like
Yeah.
books can do this. This is this is groundbreaking, avant-garde. But
Oh, I wanna like tentatively suggest that this is not just a philosophy read backwards situation, that this is art and it is enjoyable unto itself.
yeah, I
And
don't
if
think
there
it's just
are
that.
some
I think.
passages that I'm curious when you guys get to them, but like that I just found delightful, and that now that I
It's
so
probably worth you marking some of those out for us
Yeah,
to.
so the one that I really loved was when Mr. Ramsey is like going through the letters of the alphabet and contemplating his own, the fact that he's probably going to fade from the history books and not going to have a
Yeah.
lasting contribution. And he keeps comparing himself to Amundsen or Scott or like great explorers. And it's really funny and kind of relatable and like absurd. And it really tickled me. And then he comes in to like get sympathy and comfort from his wife. And the language is fantastic, and it's understandable enough to like just enjoy it without your brain constantly getting caught up on like, wait, what the fuck? Like, what does this mean, and what does that mean? And I think that was the first example where I was started to be like, damn, this is actually really good. And then when I went back, I noticed that the first 20 pages, part of what is so bamboozling is that, as you said, Cam, it's like with the Joelle monologue bit. She just name drops characters left, right, and center, and you have no idea who they are
And there's a lot
because,
of them, right? It's a big family, big loss of house guests. And you're like,
she's
why
like,
are these fucking people there?
Rose said this and Prue said that, and then old Badger even gave him a bite or something. I'm like, what is that, a dog? Is that an old man? Like, they don't bother because it's told from someone's internal experience. There's no like exposition whatsoever, it's just flitting from thought to thought. But when you go back and read it and you know who those people are and you know a little, you remember like who Mr. Tansley is and some stuff about his character and so on, it becomes a lot more compelling.
One of my issues is I'm not sure if the payoff is worth it. Like, even if there are little uncut gems throughout, I do think it's a taste thing, and I think you can cultivate taste. I remember doing some random philosophy paper over some summer course, and we had these like pop quizzes, so like people would come, like 10 pop quizzes throughout the, and this one girl I remember talking to in the foyer beforehand, like. And the reading, she was just, I went, it was kind of a pickup line. I was about how shit the reading was this week and how I didn't do it. And she said she loved it. She said it was like the best, most beautiful writing ever. And it was like super, I mean, it might have been this for all I know, mate. Like it was super poetic. And yeah, interestingly, reading about modernism and types. So I read, I'd already before this. I'd already read this critic Cyril Connolly talking about two types of writing fiction, and then I read some stuff around David Lodge, who's an author, also a potential book for us to read one time. Small World. He's got this campus trilogy about conferences. Benny might like it, but he had a couple of books on like one's like modern modes of writing, and one's called The Art of Fiction. And The Art of Fiction, he devotes chapter to stream of consciousness and modern modes of writing. He talks about these two types of fiction, And he sort of says, like, before the modernists, we had this kind of, he calls it realism, but it's like, it's kind of this clunky label because the modernists kind of argue, well, their stuff's real as well, maybe even more real. But and then you have the modernists, so that's like Joyce and Woolf, the best exemplars of that. And it's kind of all that stuff we've talked about. It's this stream of consciousness, multiple views, passage of time, very poetic, metaphorical. And then he said, even, but then after that, you kind of had this reversion away from that, kind of in the 30s and 40s with like Graham Greene, George Orwell, quite plain language, influenced by empiricism, commonsensical. And I think I do just like, there's a preference thing somewhere. I think you can be someone that enjoys them all because they're, and they're all good. And, but like, I certainly prefer those writers more. Even like the my one of my favorite poets is like Philip Larkin, who's just like very much this kind of almost shockingly unpoetic poet. Yeah, so I think David Lodge called them like metonymic or something. Like I don't know what kind of what he meant by that, because a metonym is like kind of like a synecdoche, like a something representing the whole. Like you say number 10, or like you say the White House for USA, or like for the government, rather than metaphorical. But like, yeah, I just I, if I'm honest with myself, like I don't love that kind of poetic stuff, which
Was it
is,
there's too many shrubs, do you?
well, it's all related to all that. It's all kind of coalescing and making sense now when I'm like, too many shrubs and stuff. It's like, and it might be a skill issue. I think it's partly a skill issue, partly tasting, partly a cultivator, but like, I certainly struggle, and I know there's other good, valuable, smart stuff that isn't that. So it's not like I'm just completely retarded and like have to, read lowest common denominator stuff. But I also think it's very relatable. Like a lot of people struggle with this. I mean, you give this, I imagine giving this to like the year 11 English class, everyone's like, that's why they hate assigned readings, probably.
Yeah, but I think I just want to quickly argue that it is like definitely a skill issue to some degree. I'm not denying that obviously we might like different styles, and it's not like there's some rule that you have to love Virginia Woolf, but
I'm Who's Afraid, right? Of Virginia Woolf. I kind of want to watch that now.
But like for instance, just using the example you gave, it's not a coincidence that you can do George Orwell in fifth form English class. Because Orwell is extremely accessible, and because he doesn't write in poetic prose, he just writes in very plain but good prose, like
It's more accessible. That
the
other
new
style is more
crisp, like
accessible.
Strunk and White style prose, right? Yeah, it's accessible, but the point that I want to make, and part of the reason why I'm enjoying our whole like adventure that we're on, is that my realization is there are ideas that can be conveyed through nonfiction that are usually sort of systematic factual things, or you could convey them through Orwellian style allegories or whatever, where this maps very clearly onto that and it's like quite straightforward. And then there's other things that can be conveyed only through the primacy of subjective experience. And I think that's where literature is most interesting, where it's like this language problem type stuff. There are certain feelings or moods or states of being that you cannot possibly bullet point and chunk out, but you can get a little bit closer to them by using poetic language and by using textual elements to sort of get
Yeah.
your reader into the frame of mind necessary to receive them. And I argue that they are ideas just as much as Orwell has ideas, but that they are harder to
Well, to go back to
receive, or they're
Benny's
more
point,
subtle or more.
what I thought his point might have been is like, I'm not quite sure what they are in this, that you can't just talk about them and get them. I think you're right though.
Well, you
But
can talk about them after you've read the text, but like you
even
can't
without, like,
feel them
even
until
reading,
you've,
yeah, it's
and
this feeling.
they would sort of become dry and fall apart if you just said without reading the text, some men can be so dedicated to truth such that they hurt the feelings of children. Some women have a lot of maternal
Well,
energy.
I actually don't.
Those are not like interesting things to say outside of the text, but you sort of inhabit
No,
and
it's
embody them
more
within the
like
text.
sometimes, I think at one point, I've read so much other stuff. I don't know where this stuff comes from, but I think Woolf described like thoughts as an ink blot. like dropping on a page and like sort of expanding. And we can just talk about that. That I think that's a useful metaphor and kind of what she's trying to get at with this book, that like this is how thoughts kind of work, and they don't work in this kind of linear sense that novels are restricted to capture that aspect of life. But like you can kind of find the odd passage, and I don't know, the problem is, I mean, the other, sorry, I'm jumping around a bit. The other aspect to this kind of style of their more kind of artistic, literary style of movies and poems and books is like there's this pretension aspect to it where I'm not going to, I certainly disagree with the idea that like it's all pretentious and you have to be pretentious like that. But we know, I mean, we're all fans of Hansonian and Signaling and Elephant in the Brain. Like we know there's also an aspect to this stuff as well, that the same way that like a accessible author can be read as a year 10, and you can't read this stuff, and then like because you have to be more sophisticated to kind of appreciate and understand it, which has truth to it, I think, but also has status games built in as well. And then sometimes it takes like the boy calling out the emperor's new clothes of saying like, oh, this is just annoying and flowery, and like who's confident in themselves and smart and can articulate why. That everyone's like, oh yeah, I was fooling myself a bit. Not to say it's all that at all.
So maybe let's talk about maybe the actual reading experience a bit. So with a book like this, do you think you're supposed to understand every sentence on every page, or is there a sense in which you're supposed to let it wash over you in the same
Definitely the
way that your
latter.
thoughts sort of wash over you? Maybe the latter. I mean, it's that I guess that's unclear to me.
I think
Because
that.
so I mean, I agree that the point of the genre is to reflect, in some sense, the nature of human thought with all its scatterings and its wanderings, etc. Are you supposed to read it like that, though? Or are you supposed to, like, yeah, it's unclear to me how you're supposed to read a book like this. And I think that's maybe part of what I'm missing and part of the skill component
Well, part of it,
that
I
we should
think it
talk
would
about.
be easier to, you kind of, if you knew the plot, you knew the characters, and so you're not doing all this work. Also up, downloading all that shit, and it'd be kind of useful just to kind of know all that, like almost read a summary of it, Ancius, and your long-term memory, and then you can actually just focus. Like that's kind of why I think I enjoyed the Wolfie and Infinite Jest section. I kind of knew all that background, and then I was just like taking it in. I because I remember when we first read it, like Richard kind of talked about these like this passage, this kind of getting into the subjective experience of time, and like. I sort of skipped it at the time we were reading it, and then this time I was like, "What?" I was really kind of, I was getting a bit lost in it,
Yeah,
and
these are the kind of passages that you would skip in a fiction book that wasn't entirely comprised of these passages, right?
especially a
But you
thousand
can't get
page
away with
difficult.
it here. You're like,
Yeah, I know.
like,
Well,
yeah,
that's why
this
I
is,
bounced around this book quite a bit because I was trying to, and I was like, "This is getting
yeah.
worse, worse and worse."
I can speak to my experience, which is when I tried to do my default method, which is to skim flowery, vague things that are too hard to. Like that, I'd have to exegesize really carefully. I found myself flicking through pages and then being like, wait, I forgot. I don't even know what I just read. And then when I had a more intentional, careful experience, also when I was like less tired and tried to see what she was saying by certain things, it was much richer and more rewarding. I mean, obviously, right? I don't think that necessarily means that you have to understand the exact choice of every metaphor or every piece of action or implied action within the book or anything like that. But I think it is hard work. It's like a lot harder work than most other books that we've been reading, where they sort of, they don't exactly spoon feed you, but it comes a lot closer to spoon feeding than this does.
One of my problems is I'm just not sure I got time for this. Like, just flag that. We can talk about that later. But like, I'm
Wait, but
struggling, man.
you'd be reading a book anyway. What do you mean you don't have time for it? Right? Like,
Well,
just put it out.
the amount of emotional energy and time to kind of, I don't know. I need to quit football. But yeah, I suppose I'm just finding it tough. I kind of wonder if there's a gendered aspect to this.
How far in are you, Cam, just out of interest, like to give
I
me more
probably, I've
context on your
maybe,
experience?
I mean, I've bounced around the whole book, so I don't know exactly, but
So you're reading it in the most confusing way possible.
no, I've kind of read, like, I could summarize the whole section one for the audience if we wanted to, and like I think it actually maybe help the reading, but I don't have to as well if you don't want to spoil
Well,
it, but.
should we just get concrete? It might be interesting to talk about, like, what do we know about Mr. Ramsey? What do we know about Mrs. Ramsey? What motivates them? What might they represent? Should we do that?
Yeah, sure. I wrote a really quick summary. I'll stick to the 2 minute rule.
Yeah.
So part one, the window. So it all takes place on a single day. It's about the Ramseys, which is a family, and they're at their holiday home at the Hebrides, which is rural northwest Scotland. They're at their holiday home with their eight children and lots of family friends. The youngest son, James, wants to go to the lighthouse. Mr. Ramsey and his friend and their family friend, Tamsley, say they can't because of bad weather. The son's pretty upset with the dad and happy with the mum, who kind of comforts him. The narration, as we've indicated, flickers back and forth between characters' thoughts and feelings. Mr. Ramsey's worried about his academic work, as Rich alluded to. He's also reciting a Tennyson poem out loud. He gets embarrassed when people overhear him. One of the family friend characters, Lily, painting a picture, turns out to be of Mrs. Ramsey, but that's a little confusing. And she's struggling to capture the picture of Mrs. Ramsey. There's another character, Augustus Carmichael, who's a poet. He's just lounging in a lawn chair. There's a potential wedding happening or going to happen down by the beach, by some other guests. Mrs. Ramsey and Tamsley go to the shops and they go visit someone ill. Ramsey finds Tamsley very difficult, but she still cares for him and makes things easy. She hosts the dinner party, which goes well. And then at the end, the Ramseys are reading to each other and kind of feel at peace.
Nice.
So that's kind of like the main points, which I'm not sure are that important. I don't know.
Well, at least we got a framework to talk about it now, especially since we haven't all read to the end of that section. Mrs. Ramsey, I think, is the first character whose head we're inside. So should we start with her?
Yeah, but I think the whole time, sorry, not the whole time. I think that she's probably the main character of this section.
Yeah,
It's
she seems to
mainly
be.
from her perspective. I also read about this book that there's biographical elements. That Wolf used to go to a family, holiday home, and the Ramseys are probably her parents.
Yeah, her father was a philosopher. Maybe, I don't know if he
I
was
think a
a
writer.
metaphysician. Oh, was he?
Yeah, maybe both. Actually, maybe both, yeah.
Yeah,
And
big autobiographical energy here.
her sister said when her Wolf's sister said when she read it that she'd never read something that was, it was like bringing her parents back to life on the page. Yeah, there's also like a Freudian thing going on with the opening page, where young James wants to, like,
Yeah, how can you be bored by a book where on the first page
it's
this little boy is like plotting how to murder his dad?
funny, that was the one time it was like so much like telling, not showing it. It was like just when they're like, and he had murderous rage for his father. I was like, well, what the fuck? I kind of, I don't know what to think about Freud and stuff. I kind of just feel like it's almost just like referencing Freud, because like it's either in there because it's meant to capture human nature, or if you think Freud was kind of wrong about the big things, then it's kind of like, oh, okay, this happens to be Freudian. Like the kid character wants to kill the father character, or wants to like marry the mother character, or there's like allusions to that, and like that's an illusion, and that's kind of all it is. And like,
Yeah, Freud was a big Wolf fan. I think they met and hung out.
he was not afraid of the big bad wolf.
I'm not sure who influenced who. What's the timeline? This is 1910.
This is 20s. I think Freud was
Freud was late 19th century, right?
earlier, yeah.
Yeah.
But I didn't also didn't realize she was part of that whole Bloomsbury group with like John Maynard
Keynes.
Keynes and all the rest, and like all the Cambridge group, and which would be cool to be part of it.
Do you think there are any modern groups like that? I think the George Mason
Yeah,
group is
that I
mostly
think
because it's
Cowan's influenced by these groups, that he's trying to do that. I mean, they're very different.
It's a
Well, I
lot more
mean,
siloed. You don't have like a wolf
yeah.
next to a cane, said George Mason. You might have two Keyneses.
Sure. Or two Hayeks or seven
Yeah,
Hayeks.
probably two Mises or Hayeks. Yeah.
I mean, there's also just a lot. We don't have the same geographical needs for people to be
Yeah, I could
in
imagine
anymore.
Cowan
So there's lots of.
working with, collaborating with like someone from, some other discipline, like writing a book.
Yeah, this is what I've been wondering too through this project is like we can look back and see how the big philosophical and scientific ideas of the age are reflected in the art and the literature and
Well, yeah, in terms of relativity, yeah, I mean, Einstein would have been a decade before or 2 decades before, in terms of time and passage of time being like different from your subjective experience.
yeah, and the Borgesian stuff that we looked at. Yeah, the modernists and art playing with like phenomenology of objecthood and perspectival shifts and stuff like that. And I can't quite put my finger on what it would be for this age. And I can't think of any places where you get this cross contamination like you did with the Hemingways and the Steins or the Wolfs and the Keyneses. And like, what are the ideas of the 21st century that people are sort of trying to explore in art as well as in science and philosophy?
Often that's not obvious until a few decades hence though, I think.
Yeah.
I'm not sure at the time even. Well, I guess that's not necessarily true because Wolf was writing rebuttals to various criticisms, etc. So she knew what she was up to.
Yeah.
But
Yeah,
like the
almost.
what are actual world moving trends, I think, aren't obvious until a few decades later.
And
It
it could be
almost.
because of stagnation in the sciences and philosophies, right? Yeah.
Yeah. That's a
I wonder if there's
big
been
open
this like
question for sure.
relative lowering of status of the arts among like intellectuals, or at least the intellectuals that like we follow. There's very kind of like rationalistic, empiricist sort of intellectual nerds. Like there's, I feel like, and maybe it's just our siloed space, but like
Yeah, kind
I'm
of
always
guys
thinking
who
of.
just read the Wikipedia article for everything that's
Yeah, I'm
important.
always thinking of C.P. Snow's famous article in the 50s, The Two Cultures, who I think C.P. Snow is another example of that kind of postmodernism writer who's quite plain and simple and would have grown up reading the modernists, but wrote The Two Cultures saying, probably referencing people like the Bloomsbury Group and just cultivated, educated adults like you can lie, you can be totally innumerate and scientifically illiterate and still viewed as an intellectual if you like are across the arts and Shakespeare and stuff, but you can never be the opposite. So like if you're someone who like sort of doesn't know Shakespeare and people think, just like hit the highway, that feels like it's kind of inverted a little bit now. At least in our space, you can have some, you have these shape rotators that are like totally culturally illiterate and still have really high status of being like, oh, they're super smart and like none of that shit fucking matters. And then Cowan feels like a little exception of like trying to raise the status of culture in the arts.
I don't know. I mean, if you think of like Dwarkesh's podcast, it's just deep history, basically, right? If you think of like
Yeah,
what,
well, I mean, the
like other
history.
popular podcasts like Friedman and Harris and stuff, a lot of that is not necessarily scientific or based on
No, it's very kind of like
numeracy and stuff.
logical and like so I kind of put that like kind of British empiricism or like logical positivism. I know Dortium argues against that, but like just leave that aside. Like that kind of, I think that was all kind of influential on people like Dawkins and is in the science, but also like whether you're talking about like Pinker's talking about the history or and all that, like it's that kind of scientific, people would say scientistic if they were kind of disparaging it, but like certainly not like exalting like literature and poems and stuff like the Bloomsbury Group would have been doing. And every now and then I see sprinkles of it within like Scott Alexander's work, like references Mlock and like or Kipling or something, but like it's certainly not. Certainly a background. Like you could read Zvi, these big rationalist writers that and never even touch the arts, and like I'd kind of separate history a little bit. It's been not quite the humanities that I'm talking about, that the Bloomsbury Group was big on, and C.P. Snow complained about being kind of everything. Yeah, I
Yeah, maybe.
mean,
I
I
mean,
feel like it's inverted a bit.
what influenced us to do this then? I mean, pr we're not in
Rich.
our own echo chamber here,
Well,
right? Like, presumably we were influenced to some amount
Richie's a
by the
big name.
status of being very well read. And I think that, honestly, I think that is pretty high status, even in like
Yeah, no, it
rationalism.
still is,
You can
and
show up and talk about every book in
but
the
there's like
library.
a type of guy when you see the bookshelf, and we were those type of guys. We're probably never as bad as that. That like have you kind of know the books that they have like Thinking Fast and Slow, and then they have a bit of philosophy, and it's like Meditations, and then they have like the Holocaust survivors book, like Meaning of of Meaning, and like all those ones, and like they haven't really read any fiction, and they're kind of disparate.
You
Like
have these books here, right?
you have them, don't you?
The scout
We know this. Yeah, the scout.
mindset.
Yeah,
Doing
and
good, bad, and very classic.
and like SBF best exemplifies it, and I think Hanania status boosts this opinion as well. It's just like, but SBF said like don't read fiction. It's like he said, or don't. It might have been don't read books, but there's definitely this tacit assumption when these people are saying books are overrated, that they're talking about
Yeah.
non-fiction books, and there's like this test that you don't even bother with fiction. And I've seen like some smart girls online complain about this, like these guys just like totally disparage fiction or don't, totally illiterate to it. Like I was, apart from Harry Potter, I sort of you heard the big names, but you didn't really read it.
Yeah, I think you're onto something, Cam. It's partly a narcissism of small differences thing where I don't know if this is what motivates me, but like uncharitable way of saying it would be that I want to differentiate myself from these fucking dorks and who have never read an actual work of literature in their lives and are so obsessed with like empiricism and scientism that they refuse to engage with anything that is not easily measured and pinned to the page, and that requires a sort of a different mode of thought. But I think the more positive, charitable way of putting it is what I was trying to say before, which is that my little awakening moment is the realization that I guess, like, if you want to put it in like dorky nerd language, is that qualia are information about the world, and that you can access different states of being only through works of literature that you can't access. They cannot be compressed, like algorithmically compressed into a bullet point or whatever, that you have to actually live a certain experience, and that you can get that through reading someone's words. You can get like the closest approximation of it, which you
Yeah, no,
simply cannot get by reading the Wikipedia page for to the
I think
lighthouse.
that's right. I mean, okay, that said, I still like I'm not in the place in my life where I'm getting heaps of value from modernism, but fiction more broadly, yeah, I think that's right. But there's this balance you have to strike of like not being pulled by the status of being like, this very, very cultured person who's read the classics, and like when you sometimes you see those YouTubes of those book review guys, and they're just talking, it's all a bit banal, it's amazing, the poet, and they don't really, it's almost kind of that vague stuff is like actually pinned down, and they're not being that insightful about it, and there's kind of that,
I think
and you don't
you're
want to
too
throw out
like
the
Hanson
door.
pilled. Who are we signaling for? Like, I'm not telling people
Perhaps.
about this. Like, I'm not. I'm maybe to you
Oh,
guys,
no,
and
I'm not
that's.
saying it's all signaling. I'm just saying there's this balance. Yeah, I feel like I have to strike where I think there's a there. I agree with what you said. There's a there. I just think you have to make sure you're always finding that there, and also not throwing out the nerdy dork stuff and like the
We're at no risk of throwing that
yeah, I know. But to invoke
out.
C.P. Snow, you kind of like want to combine them, and the great writers of our time like Scott Alexander do that.
Yeah, I accept that pretentiousness exists and that it exists in literature. I haven't had that experience reading Wolf, and I don't think Wolf is pretentious at all. And I also think that,
It's more
like,
like fans of Wolf. I think Wolf is a genius, probably. I mean, he was totally original. Like, not many people can say that. I mean, I don't know
Yeah,
if like Joyce was slightly, but yeah, who knows? But like,
I just don't think we're at risk of falling into that trap. If anything, the opposite. We have to be like really convinced of something's merit. We're like very skeptical, and we really come from the tradition of the dorky systematizing. Everything must be made tangible.
but there's
Everything
just
must be
something
made
inherent
measurable.
about stuff that's difficult, and like, you know, I fake it till I make it, and then I eventually get this breakthrough, and like, it's so difficult, and then you kind of feel like, well, I'm kind of more cultivated, or like, I get it, and others don't get it, and like, there's something inherent to difficult work that some of the incentives are, like, I think, slightly off. But yeah, I'm a little bit Hanson pulled, so
The final
Love
like
it a
yeah, like the Titanic was a pretty big ship.
bit.
The final like random idea that I had about this is that I think getting more into the Crit Rat stuff and like the Brian Boyd type stuff has made me appreciate the power of narrative and story a lot more for conveying information and for like I think Boyd's theory is something to do with playing with patterns of information and especially social information. And maybe that is something that a lot of other people have been doing since day dot, and that's their primary game that they play
Well,
is
I
like
think maybe
social
that's
game,
why
social information game.
Jordan Peterson was so popular as well, of like, he's kind of talking about these narratives and archetypes and all these, you know, all these young guys who are just like definitely that type of guy that, and it's kind of like, oh wow, like, look at all this cool stuff in the story of Lion King, that you can like pull out from it, you know, the kind of classic humanities.
Yeah. But I think like the main point is that moving away from empiricism necessitates the primacy of stories and explanations over scientism, over arbitrary measurement and stripping things from their
Well, yeah,
context. And so
definitely there's a
that's what's
Dorsian
like
angle.
feels important to me about this is like
But I feel like you have to have this concatenation of both, because you can go too far. Like, you know, the people that loved Freud and still love Freud, it's because he's like such a great literary writer, and he's like referencing all the, well, like Homer and stuff, and you know, he's like totally, at times he's like totally making up shit, and it's a literature, and it doesn't have to be. Doesn't necessarily have to be true and young and stuff, but then you get these guys on the other side that just kind of throw all that out, because you hear this one on the, what, you've thought like girls have penis envy, like what an idiot, and you can like kind of think this like obvious genius has nothing to him. Yeah, so I feel like you kind of need both, which, you know, we all agree with, and that's what we're trying to
yeah, exactly.
do.
I only had an hour to give today, sadly, just because it's
Too much
cool.
wolf.
But yeah, too much wealth. But I think it's okay because I'm only 25 pages in anyway, so I'm not going to get much out of you guys talking
Well,
about the characters because
let's just cut it here
I
and
didn't
do
want to
another.
cheat
I
like
did
Richard.
kind of want to talk about the plan. Yeah. I think
I'm down to finish it. Like I'm, you know, with Rich's if we had
I'm
all
not
come to
that
agreement
down to finish
instead.
it. I'm happy to talk about the later two sections, that I'll do my best with if we want to.
This little teeny book gonna be the first one that you give up on?
Well, I'm not sure if there's too much more to get into apart from kind
Bro,
of what you said.
no, there 100% is. We literally haven't talked
Yeah,
about anything about the book. We haven't said a single
we
word
have.
about any of the characters.
Mate, that's the point, mate.
All you've done is like,
It ain't about,
all you've
mate.
read
Well,
is like
spoiler, mate.
background
Spoiler rich,
context
mate.
of
It ain't
like,
about the characters.
huh?
It ain't about the characters, bro.
No, like to
Like
the
what
ex
Ray says on Everybody Loves Raymond, mate. It's not about the kids, don't worry.
I think you've made a mistake with how you've approached this by like reading about the writing devices as if that's the interesting bit. That's not the interesting bit.
I think it's letting that soak into you more. But at the end of the day, it's going to be like, oh, this was amazing. Example 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Like, got into this mood, which I'm not sure if I'm going to get into. And but kind of the themes of what we've been talking about, this of experiencing consciousness, like, as an aspect of life that can't be captured in this normal kind of linear storytelling. Like, yeah, I mean, my worry is I'm just going to struggle with it and not complete the reading.
That's fine. Just just struggle through it and we'll do our best next week and then it'll be over soon.
So you're going to, what 25 pages are you going to
Hey, I'll be
I
better
mean,
than
if
20.
both of you guys want to quit, then yeah, we can definitely quit.
No, a part of me doesn't want to
No,
quit.
you've convinced
Quitters
me.
never win.
I'm down.
But I kind of think, well, it depends how many sessions we want to do, but like it might be worth reading a bit of section two, Benny, and then reading a bit of section three. Because I think they're quite distinct as well. Like section two is quite distinct from one. Called
How
the
long is
passive.
it? How long is the book?
Think shorter. I think section one's the biggest, but
The book's my copy is 195 pages. Oh, it's actually less than that. Oh no, it's not. Yeah, it's about 190 pages. So we could do it in part one, part two, part three, because it's divided into three parts. Or if you guys want to get it out of the way, we could just do our best next week with however far we've got, and then move on.
I'm keen for that, but I think it would be a shame if you guys hadn't read some of the later sections if we were to do that.
I'm going to finish the book either way. So,
Well, you got it now.
yeah. No, I'm enjoying it now, but I don't necessarily want to rush through it. So,
I'm just imagining in your mirror, like a kind of, I'm enjoying the your bathroom mirror. Good message. I'm enjoying Wolf.
Yeah.
I think we're going to do it. Let's do it right. Unless Cam's going to
I don't
blow
know
his
where this
brains
come
out.
from, Benny.
But we
You
can't
read
do
like
that.
five. You read five pages, and now you're sort of.
Yeah, I'm convinced, dude. I'm open
I'm
to
gonna
opinions.
smash out
I'm
200.
open
That's
to. I love being told I'm missing something, and there's something more to appreciate than what I'm grasping onto. That's how I live my life, dude. It's like people are like, "There's something interesting here," and I say, "Fuck yeah, let's do it." So Rich has
Yeah, I
convinced
said
me.
yeah,
I'm
and
in.
like I had the exact same experience in the first 25 pages as well of being totally overwhelmed and not into it. I started talking
Maybe.
shit in the group chat about it, and then I deleted
Yeah.
it.
Yeah. No.
And I have the experience about being wrong about things I like all the time. I don't know about you guys, but I have that, like, I'll be told, recommended something and think I won't like it, and then I end up
Maybe it's
liking
a
it. So
personality
I'm
thing,
easily
'cause
swayed.
I think like I had that experience directly with Wallace now, and who was influenced by Wolf. Like I know I could potentially get there, but I just kind of can't be bothered. It's maybe, I mean, to always I invoke Infinite Jest every week, but like that whole discussions of plateaus. I think John Wayne's to the buddies, and there's different plateaus, and some people are happy just being like below the plateau. And maybe I'm just okay with that, and like there's so much other good stuff out there. I'm happy to sort of access that.
Fair enough. I
All right,
think you
well,
should challenge yourself a
Rich and
little bit
I'll have
more.
to start our own book club.
Yeah,
You
I'll just do my own. I'll do
have to
soliloquy each.
rename yours
Yeah.
Finite Jester.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, well, okay, fuck it. Maybe I, oh my God.
Just read the,
Maybe I
just
just thought
read
maybe I
the.
read it. I mean, speaking of virginity, this thought came from like a splash of puddle
Yeah,
that came into my
maybe I'll read
mind
it.
of
Maybe I'll have to
slowly
read the book for book
listening
club.
voices
Jesus
around me. I can't hear them, and
Christ.
just dawning on me the significance of it. Yeah, maybe I read it. Oh my God.
Shit.
Definitely quitting football now.
Sorry, boys, I gotta read to the lighthouse.
Oh, this is sweet revenge,
That's
man.
fun. That's hilarious.
I tried, man.
Hey, just get on the call next week, and give it a try. If you still don't like it, that's
You
fine.
feel like the
And
kid of the
it
group.
doesn't matter. If you don't like it, you don't like it. But
It doesn't matter. It's not for you. It's a taste thing, Cam. Don't worry about
just take two
it.
bites
It's a
and
taste
then
issue.
tell me how
It's
you
not a
feel. Just
skill
two.
issue. I
Yeah,
was
it's a taste issue.
wrong about it being a skill issue. It's totally taste.
All
Yeah.
personality. It's
Some
all
people
signaling.
like filet
Oh
mignon
no,
and
I
some
think
people
we've
like
headed.
hamburgers. And no one's right and no one's wrong.
Some people like McDonald's. Yeah, I mean, this discussion's been generative, I think, by the way. Like, I definitely had a valuable week. I mean, I can still, I've still got notes here, mate. Idea of marriage,
I've got lots of notes too. We never
painting.
fucking talked about the book.
We have talked about the book somewhat.
You guys can keep talking. Yeah,
Multi perspectives, mate.
I'm happy to.
I get it. What a fragmented call, just jumping around from hither and thither, one perspective to another. Well, since Rennie's got to go, let's call it and
Yeah,
then.
let's call it, and we'll leave something in the tank for next time.
And hopefully,
Maybe,
Benny's, no,
yeah.
if
Cam
Benny's done
doesn't do
another
any of the reading.
15.
He'll still have something to say.
Cam's read another like three theorists and six Wikipedia
Well,
pages, but still hasn't read any more of
I've read
the
so
book.
get it. I get it.
So much literary criticism of fucking Virginia Woolf. Holy shit.
What are you doing? Just read the fucking book.
But, yeah, I tried. I
He's
was.
anchored more of the book than he's actually read.
All right, catch you later, boys.
Jesus Christ.
Next week
All
to
right,
the
see you guys.
lighthouse.